And so today I want to talk about the courage to remain. So would you stand for the reading of the word? Today we are in Acts chapter 16, and the word reads this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Love that. Their song was calling the ears of the prisoners. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds, their chains were unfastened. And when the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword, and he was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights, and he rushed in trembling with fear, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved and all your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them in the same hour of the night, washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once and all his family. And then he brought them up into his house, set food before them, and they rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we just put our hands out in front of us this morning. We just posture this, our bodies, to inform ourselves that we want to surrender to your will today, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we need you. And Holy Spirit, invite you to come right now. And we say, Holy Spirit, come to make us aware of the presence of God that is already here today. Without the Holy Spirit, these are just empty words that will be spoken. And so, God, we pray you would open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, Lord God. Soften our hearts to the word of God this morning. Lord, like the rains that we've been experiencing, seeing the flourishment of grass and flowers blooming in, the April rains bring the May flowers. And so, God, we need the rains on our heart this morning where we are dry, where we are broken. God, we want to be nourished with the kingdom wisdom today. God, would you anoint the words that you have given me today? Help me to communicate what you long to speak to your people. May we be forever changed. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Please be seated. So we are talking about courage to remain. I came across this story in 2009, and ESPN aired a story about D'Antonian and Crockett and Leroy Sutton, two high school students in the inner city of Cleveland. Crockett and Sutton were teammates of Lincoln West High School wrestling team. Crockett, who was legally blind, was filmed carrying Sutton, a double leg amputee, on his back. And this is just the picture of them right now. And so this is the story back in 2009 that was covered. Leroy Sutton, he is the guy, the double amputee. Lisa Fenn was the ESPN interviewer. She was pretty well known back then. She had interviewed all the greats of Michael Jordan and such. And D'Antonian of Crockett, who was legally blind. And these two had grown up in Cleveland, Ohio, and they were extremely impoverished. Parents who were drug addicts, they were homeless. Leroy Sutton, who lost his legs with a train accident. So he actually lost both his legs through a train accident. And they grew up together in this impoverishment, but they found one another like this. This is how they would walk around in school. They would actually, one who could not see would be the eyes, and one who could not walk would carry one another. I love this story. And it was captured, and Lisa Fenn of ESPN, she was a veteran, and she wanted to captivate their story to the world. But she broke the rule of a reporter and remained with them for the remainder of their lives. She's a Christian, and she actually, you can read the story about it, called Carry On, is the book that carries this whole story. And she couldn't help herself. The one who had no legs being carried by the one who could not see. And so she helped them get through high school, because impoverishedness doesn't just stop with giving money. There are mentalities that need to be shifted. And so she would make sure that they got to the classes that they needed to get to, that she would encourage them in their schoolwork. She would even help them get fed every day, because that was not a reality. And thanks to her effort, Crockett became a bronze medalist in judo in the Paralympic Games. And actually, since then, he won a second one as well. So he got two bronze medals. And Sutton would be the first member of his family to graduate from college. And so just this woman remaining, a mother heart that said, she lived in Boston, they relocated to Cleveland, Ohio, and remained with them to see this journey come out, because she was upper class and she had never seen anything like it. And they asked the question, why did you stay? And she says to them, I love you. And they pressed and said, I knew you would say that, both of them said in an interview, I knew you'd say that, but why did you stick around and do everything you did? And I love these words that she said. I stayed because I would not be the next on the list of people who'd walk out over their trust. I stayed because we get only one life and we don't truly live it until we give it away. I stayed because we can change the world only when we enter into another's world. I stayed because I love you. Remaining cultivates change. And the driving force is the deep sense of love. I'll say that again. Cultivating change requires people to remain. And the driving force that we saw in this story was a deep sense of affectionate love, where a mother incorporated an adoption of two sons, and now they're still family friends, they're still walking together, and it's an amazing story. I'd encourage you to check it out. But the birth of the Philippian church came through radical remaining. Paul, who had been beaten by these guards because of the uproar that he had caused, and that's for another story. If you just read Acts 16, I haven't got time to go into it, check it out. But they're in jail, and they've just been beaten by these guards, probably 40 lashes upon their back. And in this space of brokenness, they sing out the famous song, right? Whatever it was, what a beautiful name it is, or how great is our God. And it was bad enough that the chains broke. And so if you don't have a good voice, you know, you can carry on singing through. No, an earthquake happened in that spontaneous moment of singing. A supernatural event happened. Chains broken. The door was left wide open. And often we talk about how chains break with worship, but what about worship that causes radical obedience to remain? What about worship that isn't just to seek my own freedom, but worship that cultivates and says, I see an open door, but I'm going to remain for the soul that God has called me to save? What about that kind of radical remaining? In a moment, denying all, the soldier saw the radical obedience. Now remember, soldiers have radical obedience. And this soldier who had given his life to Rome saw an obedience greater than what he had ever encompassed. People that would not seek their own freedom, a person who was, by the very lifestyle, obedient, he was saved into the kingdom by more radical obedience than his own obedience. A life lived well caused someone to change their own lives. And what I love about this story is that the whole household was transformed. A family line was transformed that day because of someone's radical obedience to remain. That's the kind of venture that the kingdom of God is wanting to cultivate in us. The fruits of people remaining. I think about pastors Craig and Wendy, who when they came to this city somewhat 40 years ago, close to, or more than that, 42? 43 years ago, Pastor Craig shared this story that 43 years ago when he came to this city, he felt God say that if you die to yourself, I will do a great work through you. Through you means generationally. And so for the leaders in the room, like Rick and Terry and Paul and Kim, Lord, those people that have done the distance through and many others in the room that have done the walk through, we are standing in a room of fruits of someone that chose to stick it out when they could have left. And I bet if you ask their stories, there were definitely moments when the open door looked like, I can walk through, it looks better, but they chose to stay. And I believe through generations of great works will be done through this land. Amen? Like, and so this is what we believe. Because the gift of remaining has become so underestimated. We're so quick to leave, right? Divorce is on the increase and we just leave. And we see friendships break apart over the silliest things. We see people leave communities because their preferences aren't met. And in an age driven by what feels good, blessings break through when you remain. Blessings on the other side of the circumstance that you are facing right now. If you are facing something where you feel like I've got an open door and I want to go through, I'd encourage you to seek the Lord to see if it's right. Because God has a fruit on the other side of that door, but it requires you to live in comfortability. It requires you to be someone that saturates yourself in God and say, I'm going to remain even though it doesn't look like what I want to do. As a pastor, if I can be honest, you know, there are times where I just want to sign and give my resignation to the board and be like, you know what, it's just too much for me. But I believe if I cultivate the heart to remain, that God's going to do a great work through it all. Because we all have temptations that we are going to face. There are temptations to leave. As we've already talked about, the painful moment, Paul received 40 lashings and his back was completely cut up. And I'm sure, because in Acts 12, there was already a story of Peter who was in jail. They prayed and an angel took Peter out of the jail. And as you've just been beaten up, remember, Paul's had stonings happen to him. He's been someone that's been abused over and over again, almost left for dead. And he would have heard that story if suddenly the gates and chains were open. I'd be like, yes, Peter's miracle. Silas, let's get out of here. And I'd be running for the hills. But there was something that Paul knew that the kingdom of God wanted to mature. Because I wonder if Peter, I don't know, sometimes I wonder if he, what would have happened if he had stayed. Would he have been able to see something? Say, it's just my reflection and thought. Paul, we see this development of rather freedom causing to lead to your own escape, we see freedom that causes salvation of another person. But at what point do you think I'm going to tap out, God? The open door's right before me, and I don't even know if God would have been mad. I don't know. But the Philippian church, I believe, would not be formed because it needed this centurion. It needed this person to cultivate Philippi. And you think of how many millions of people have been impacted by that one decision. 2,000 years later, what decisions are we making today that are going to echo through eternity? And so this is what I want to cultivate within us, that we are bombarded by opportunities. As I sit across the table with people, I'm listening often to stories of people saying, I've got this opportunity, I've got this opportunity. We are people who don't lack opportunities. And I'm thankful for that. The better salary, the better relationship, better opportunity of influence. But yet sometimes, and I think a lot of times, it's better to remain than it is to run through that open door. I think about also the contrast of the jailer who wanted to escape. He'd made a massive mistake. His people he'd fallen asleep, and now these people had escaped, and what that meant for him, that he was going to die. They would execute him because he had let the prisoners go. And so you get this sense of failure that he was going to take his own life because of the sense of obedience in his own life. And so he wanted to escape the situation because of fear of shame, that his name would be remembered as failure. How many of us want to not remain, not because the open door, but because of the shame of failure that happens through life? That when we make a mistake, when we say the dumb thing, right? You're in a circle of friends. You remember those moments. You said something and they just laughed at you. And suddenly you just wanted to shrink right back, never speak again. And you just flood your mind with the rest of the evening of what a failure you are. Because remaining in a community creates history. For better or worse, history will be formed if you stick around long enough. And will you stay when that reputation or that circumstance happens and you feel that shame and you just want to run or take it, you want to remove yourself from that situation? And so I would also say to you that we want to be a culture that remains in spite of our difficulties, in spite of our disagreements, in spite of those things where we do something wrong, forgiveness is given and we still remain. We make a bad decision and other people know about it and we still remain. That's the kind of community that I feel. I believe the enemy loves to create shameful moments, circumstances not working how we wanted. And so it moves us. It literally pulls us away from relationship. Either the open door or the painful mistake can cause us to miss what is right in front of us. And so we want to cultivate courage that remains. How do we do that? Love this from Friedrich Nietzsche, who says, "He who has a why to live for can bear with almost any how." He who has a why to live for can bear with almost any how. And we're going to look for the remainder of our time at Paul's why. The why is woven into the letter to the Philippians. And so we want to cultivate a why. I would ask the question today, why are you here in this community? We ask this question a lot. Why did you come Sunday morning? Is it out of habit? Is it out of moral duty? Or do you believe the why that you remain in this community is for the kingdom purpose? Do you have a why for your life that causes you, in spite of the challenges that you face, no matter what they are, that why that you have to remain is stronger than the circumstance? Ask yourself, why? Why do I remain? Why do I stick it out? Because that is what is going to get you through any how or things that come your way. And so let's have a look at Philippians, Paul's letter to the church, to work out what was that why. And Pastor Brian last week alluded to this famous passage that a lot of us know. And in the opening words, imagine we are the Philippian church. We are the people that they would read this letter to these people. Paul's words of encouragement to a church that is being persecuted. They are suffering. And his words to this church are the most joyful words out of all. He is writing out of jail himself, so he's suffering, and he's writing a letter to encourage these people who maybe are considering, should I remain or shouldn't I remain? And these words that he says, "But with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether in life or death." And this famous words that maybe you've been around church long enough, this is something we've heard before, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I want you to hold that last phrase, "die to gain," because we're going to go beneath the surface on that line in a moment. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. So Paul is setting up this kind of like contrast. Is it better for me to be with Christ and leave, or is it better for me to remain and do the will of God? Because if we're honest, sometimes that's what it feels like in life, right? When I've got that tough decision, when I'm just being bombarded, think about your darkest moment you've been in. And sometimes it's felt like, man, Jesus, I just want to be with you in heaven right now. We often feel those thoughts. And Paul in jail is wrestling with those same things. God, do you want me to go or do you want me here? Yet which I chose, I cannot tell. The wrestling in his mind is real. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced. Paul had to be convinced of this. but now he is convinced. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. His why is for other people. His why is for that other person. Remember Lisa's story. Paul had been connected with these people and suddenly just fell deeply in love with them. The woman Lydia, who was a successful business lady who came to Christ. The woman who was delivered of demons, radically transformed. And you can think, you hear these words, and probably the jailer is laughing to himself as he heard these very words, because he knew, I wanted to get out of here. I didn't want to remain. And he almost probably had a smirk on his face as he heard those words that Paul said, we are here. And that remaining saved his life. And so you could almost breathe a sigh of relief that he decided, and when those words were read over the jailer, there was a sense of relief that was like, yes, remain, remain. And he was convinced of this. But again, I want to come back to the why. If we just have a why for other people, which is great, don't get me wrong, but I think Paul wants us to go deeper, and he does. Because that line, and to die is gain. Gain is what we need to work out. Because if I gain just by on my own merits of loving people, then it's based on how I feel each day. If I feel like I want to love people, then I'll remain. But how many of you know that we don't always want to love people? The smile is, yeah, so not enough. I'm probably the only honest one in the room, right? Okay. And so we know that if we base just on our own ability to love people, we will always choose not to remain. And so Paul knows that, and he's going to carry on this thought in further on in the letter. And he's going to do another contrast. He's going to get a scales before us today. He's going to say this, but whatever gain I had, I count them as lost for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of many things and count them as rubbish. My favorite, that's why God is English, rubbish. Right, my favorite word. This is the proof that he is English. Rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And I just want to put a pause in that moment. Let's just center ourselves on this expression, not to miss what Paul is doing. And so whatever gain I had, I count them as loss for the sake of Christ. So let's do this. He's got a scale of life right now that says that Paul has achieved a ton of things. He has influence. He has friends in high places. He had probably some money because of his faithfulness in where he was. He had all the good things, honor bestowed upon him because he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He came from a good lineage line as well. And so his instant states is say, hey, look, but whatever gain I had, whatever in this bracket, in this column, in this side of gain of life that I have, this is what I hold. And instantly he says, because I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ, for the work of Christ, for the kingdom work, he's brought that first thing, the things that I have gained, the things that I have equated in life, I count them as loss. So if we have in this column here, the gains of the world and Jesus relationship, it's like this. And then we suddenly see the scales begin to tip. So already Paul is saying, the gains of this world, Jesus is greater. He carries on to say, indeed, I count everything as loss. So he's counted the gains of the world as loss, and now he counts everything as loss, as knowing Jesus, gnosko, the experiential of knowing Jesus. And so we almost have this kind of like even fields, it feels like. And then he tips the scale, for the sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, filthy rags, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Sake of Christ, knowing Christ, found in Christ. For many of us, if we are to be people who courage to remain, we have got to do the scale acts of counting what we think is gain in our lives. Because we will remain, right? Let's be honest in the room. We will remain if it's for our gain. If it makes me feel good, I'm going to remain for my gain. But when that scale begins to tip and it's not for my gain, when they're a bit annoying, those people are, when they are taking from me a bit too much. Now, boundaries are good, don't get me wrong. But when they're being a burden to me and suddenly I don't want that. Paul is saying, count it as loss. Count it as loss. He goes on. He says, I count everything as lost. So not just my gains, but all the things that I have, I count it as loss for the sake of knowing. So if I want to know gnosko, if I want to experience Jesus, I've got to tip the scales in such a way that I know him and count the other things as loss. That everything I have, the knowing of Jesus surpasses all the things that I own in my life. And he takes it a step further. If I want to be found in Jesus, if I want to have a life that is immersed in Jesus, that I am all for him, 100% all in, found in Christ and nothing else, that I've got to actually cause the things that I have to see them as filth, as things that are a hindrance to me experiencing Jesus in my life. Where are you on the scale of Paul? Counting things as loss. Because I think immediately as salvation comes, we all count. And he goes on to say this, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, not trying to drum up my own right standing with Jesus, but actually taking hold of the gift of faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Paul is saying that we, as people, that is kind of our entry point, the faith and righteousness that we have, the gift. And so for the sake of the kingdom, I mean, my sins have been forgiven. Have yours? Yes. And so for the sake of the kingdom, thank you for saying yes, because we could have an altar call right now and we'll just do the salvation across like that. But let's be reality for the sake. So me and Rach, Rach is pregnant. I'm not pregnant, but she is pregnant. And so just in case you didn't know, this live stream went rubbish last week, and so fix that. Hopefully it's working right now. But we didn't plan very well. And so our insurance is like a life insurance. It protects us if things break on us, we get protected. But this insurance doesn't cover pregnancy. And so we were like, wow. So we've got $10,000 or $15,000 of debt coming our way because of a child. And so we reached out to all these different schemes to try and see if we got it. And thank God, 2 days ago, we got this affirmation of like, you have been approved, full coverage for it. Yeah. But that's a small little window of relief in my soul for the sake of the kingdom, amen? And I think, do we live with that reality that you are forgiven of a far greater debt? You are forgiven of something, and because we're so immersed in our own righteousness, amen, that we think we earn our right standing, and so for the sake of the kingdom diminishes. We don't count it as loss. And so we need to be people of his righteousness, the grace that I don't deserve, the goodness that he bestows upon me, that when I am broken, when I'm in need, he pulls me in. And that's the goodness of what he's talking about, for the righteousness that I may know him. Our takeaway point today is, if we want to be people who remain, courage to remain, it cannot be enough just to our own self-works to try and love people. Because you will literally decide when you want to come through these doors and when you don't want to come through these doors. When you want to remain part of this community and when you don't care to. The invitation today is, what is your why? Is it to know Christ? Do you count all other things? Or are you on the journey, because we're all on a journey, of counting all other things as loss in light of knowing Christ? Can you ask that self? Can you ask yourself that today? Can you take a moment to say, Because I think all of us are on a journey, and there's a reality that we need to repent of today that says, you know what? I don't count all things as lost. Or the gains in my life still outweigh my wanting to know God. Because Paul will say, if you want to know God, if you keep that as your why, that every situation that I face, whether suffering or joy, it doesn't matter to him to die or to live, because Christ is my gain. Christ is my gain. And I think the reality is maybe you're a new believer in this room today. Maybe you need to hear this today, that to know Christ is the goal of your life. To make him known in your life is the very goal of your life. And so when we hit turmoil, when the storms of life come, when the scars on our body because of broken relationships, because situations didn't happen the way we wanted, it doesn't matter. Because in and through it all, as we look back at that passage again, it says, and from God depends on faith that I may know him. The power is resurrection. When we remain, we'll know his power, his transformative work. And this line that we don't like to say in church, sufferings. So, power of God, sufferings. We don't want to talk about the other half. Bring to mind your friend that you have in life. What makes them an amazing friend? Maybe it's the commonality, maybe it's the laughter and the friendship you carry. But the deeper sense is this, that friend has been with you through trials. That friend is a true friend because they have not walked out on you. And you cannot know the friendship and love of Jesus Christ if you're just expecting the good times. There is no gospel. In fact, one of Jesus' famous promises that we don't confess, you will have troubles. Amen. Thank you for the amen. You will, because this is a broken, fractured world. Not that God wants to beat you in any way, but there is a reality of brokenness that we live in, but God has overcome the world. You will not know God if you expect God just to live you through the good times. But I know a God through the trials. I know a God through the scars. That God helps me remain. And so when the world is falling apart, which it might later this year, whoever which way it goes, we do not know. But how good would it be that a church says, we're here. We're here and not moving. We're not going to Canada. We're not escaping the world, regardless of where, whatever situations. We are remaining. We are remaining. Because our kingdom is not based on who gets in or who's out or whatever. It makes it nicer sometimes, depending on which way it goes. But we're going to say we are all here. When there's an offense in the room, when someone does something to you, because as we grow as a community, your choice is, will you remain or will you just go out the back door? Plenty of other amazing churches out there. Great churches out there. But will you remain when the offense comes? Because I can guarantee you this, the only way you will know God and grow in him is if you remain. And so the open door is before you. And so I just want to invite the worship team up right now. Just a couple of people I want to pray for today. Because the reality is someone has remained so you could be here. Someone has remained so you could be here. God died and remained on the cross. Jesus remained on the cross so that we could be saved. That's the reality. He remained. He set the example of remaining when all had left him, when all were cursing him, and he said, Father, I forgive them, for they do not know what they do. There are Christians that have remained so that we gather here today. Amen. You didn't just get an enlightened moment. Like someone in your life sowed a seed into your life and you are the byproduct fruit of that. And so the call today is, what are your counts of loss today? What do you count as loss? What do you count as gain? Because I want to challenge you right now. If it is not for Christ, then you will walk out the door. Shame will overcome you and you will either take yourself out of the scenario, or you will walk out that door. And if you do not keep the fruit or the desire to know Christ, because how powerful a story that we have seen over and over again of lives that choose to remain in and through it all to give God glory. Because if God is getting the glory, you don't have to sustain your walk either. Feel that for someone today. Just to give you a truth, if you're trying to remain to make it happen, it gets really tiring and really boring really quickly. But if you are remaining for His glory, if you're remaining to know Him more, He gives you the life, He gives you the energy, He gives you the faith to keep going, amen? And this is what we want for Point View. If we're going to point people to the way of Jesus, we're not saying, point to me. We're saying, I found in the depths, I found in the brokenness, I found a God that was stronger than the things that I'm facing. And today, I am standing as witness with my scars, with my imperfections. I'm standing today and saying, God, you be the glory. Let my life be a story that we are all here. Can we say that together? We are all here. We are all here. To Washington, we are all here. To our families and friends, we are all here. To our work colleagues, we are all here. Let's stand today.